Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, it's Jackie Cation, and you are listening to the Dork Forest. The website's jackiecation.com, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com if you like a determiner. Let's do the credits. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio and video. Vilmos works on JackieCation.com. And Mike Rickberg sang the song with his wife, Sarah. He composed it, and he will sing his version of the Mexican hat dance at the end of this show. Thank you so much for listening to the Dork Forest. Here's a scoop. I'm doing stand-up online. A lot of Zoom shows will eventually go back on the road. Sign up for my email list. It's easy to get off. It's harder to get on than it is to get off. And no harm, no foul, if ever bored. JackieCation.com. Sign up for the email list. You'll find out about my weekly Zoom shows and stand up on the road eventually. You may donate to the show if you would like. I would like. Sure, I would. There's PayPal, Jackie@JackieCation.com, and there is a PayPal button on both DorkForest.com and JackieCation.com, and there's Venmo if you like Venmo, Jackie-Cation, oddly enough. If you have listened to all of the shows, go to dorkforest.bandcamp.com, I think. The Dork Forest has a Bandcamp page. You can listen to a lot of ones that are free from pre-2009 when I started pre-recording. And then there's live episodes that cost me a couple of bucks, so I charge you a couple of bucks. There's also some stand-up. There's a story album that's very exciting there. And other than that, I have a lot of merch in my garage. Feel free to order if you know anybody who doesn't have any CDs or the DVD. And you can follow me everywhere at Jackie Cation. Let's get into the show.
Hi, Jackie Cation here. Welcome to my hotel room in Austin, Texas. Think about the Dork Forest now. As we're doing them over Zoom, it can happen anywhere. Where are you, Joelle Johnson? Welcome back to the program.
I'm in the opposite of Austin. I'm in black ass Atlanta. I mean, Austin has been colonized by the alt,
oh my God,
the alt-white comics.
Oh my God. It is very, somebody said Laura House did a guest set last night and I'm at the Creek of the Cave this weekend. Yeah. And she came out because she moved here like 6 months ago or so in the midst of pandemic. And the MC is this younger woman comic. And she goes, oh, I'm so happy to see a woman comic moving here. Thank you so much. And Laura was like, is there work? And the owner of the Creek of the Cave was like, yes. Yes, there is.
Shout out to Rebecca Trent holding it
exactly.
down for the women.
Holding it down for the ladies. Mm-hmm. This is recording. All things are happening. So let's say that we, okay. So when I said, do you want to do the Dork Forest again? You're like, yes.
I've never done it before. I've done it before.
I thought you did it before. If you haven't done it before, there's another crime against humanity right there. Because we've known each other for lo these many years and I've been doing the Dork Forest. Well, God knows you're a dork.
Yes,
and you
yay.
Have things to dork out about. So, but this one, hilariously, Gone with the Wind?
Yeah, man. And it's funny because you said book or movie. I didn't do the book. I'm the movie.
Oh, you? Okay. All right. I have never read the book. My stepmother freaking loved that movie and Ooh. Read the book. And I was like, what is it? And it was so long and so dumb. And it was just terrible life choices
valid.
Being made.
Valid for both the book and the movie. Because here's the thing. I tried to read the book. And Margaret Mitchell, bless her heart, she will describe a field for three pages. And you know, that font was like 8-point font with no spaces right. in the middle. And I'm like, girl, you still talking about these trees? I couldn't get through the first chapter.
Right, right. It's so not as fascinating as she thinks it is.
No.
That is unstoppably hilarious.
Yeah,
thank you.
You know how comedians be like, cut the fat, girl, cut the fat out this.
Yeah. 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 There is definitely, I have to tell you that what I'm doing, the reason my thing went away is because I wanted to check the volume. And I also wanted to put my Audacity screen over my face because I'm sick of looking at my face on Zoom.
Oh, it's terrifying, right?
It is. It's so very. So talk to me about when was the first time you saw the movie Gone with the Wind?
So when I was in sixth grade.
11 years old.
Yes. My teacher, her name was Mrs. Kruger. She was obsessed with the movie and she taught a whole week of English class about Gone with the Wind. And you know, when a nerd teaches you something about something, it just makes you like excited about it. So she just taught us for a week and she taught that movie better than probably any other lesson I might have received in school, because it's the one that still resonates with me to this day.
Oh, that is so funny, because you grew up in Atlanta, right?
I'm a Jersey girl.
Jersey? Wait a minute. I think I met you in whatever. So in New Jersey.
Yes.
Where in New Jersey?
Union, New Jersey. Went to Union High School, also famously Ray Liotta. Attended Union High School. Artie Lang attended Union High School, and Howard Stern shot the beginning of Private Parts at Union High School.
Oh, well, very exciting. I went to college in Madison, Wisconsin, where the movie Back to School, nice. Rodney Dangerfield, was shot.
I love facts about things. I love silly facts.
Okay, so you're 11 years old and you're hearing about, and so then a week, she spent a week, and then granted, the movie is like 3 hours long, is it not?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's over 3 hours runtime.
How many times have you seen it?
I mean, what are we talking? Let's be realistic. If I'm being realistic, maybe 18 to 20.
Okay, that seems enough. That seems plenty. Do you own it on the DVD? Did you ever own it on the
I own the VHS, the special edition. People have gotten this for me as gifts. I have a gigantic Gone with the Wind poster in my bathroom and in my living room. Like, I've had people come to my house and be like, what?
You have two?
more than that. I've Gone with the Wind stuff because people give it to me as gifts when they find out.
Oh, right. It's like saying that you like unicorns and then all of a sudden everything's people keep unicorns. Handing you things.
And I don't mind it. Send gifts. Send Gone with the Wind gifts to Joyelle.
Right. By the way, it's at Joyelle Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, everywhere. And Joyelle Johnson is a great stand-up comic. And you should get her album, Yell Joy. Get it? Anyway, so it's available on all the
I love how you spelled Nicole, which everyone knows how to spell, and not Joyelle. You say you'll figure it out, geeks.
Joyelle, J-O-Y-E-L-L-E. That's how I would spell it. Nicole, I don't know why. I might spend it and spell it nice ole.
Nice ole. Ooh, nice ole.
Right. N-I-C-E-O-L-E. But that's not how you are spelling Nicole. You're spelling it N-I-C-O-L-E.
That's so funny. There's this girl, Nicole Bitchy. She does a blog and she spells it that way.
Nice ole.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I have a very good friend who spells it nice ole. And whenever I talk about her, I refer to her as nice ole.
I love that.
But I call her Nicole to her face because that would be weird. So I've never seen it.
Okay.
All I know is the Carol Burnett sketch.
Of course.
And then I know that it was Rhett Butler and somebody else was in it. And then it was the first black woman to get an Academy Award.
Yes. Come on, facts.
Those are the three facts I know about the, and it was set in the Civil War, but it was not particularly historically accurate.
I mean, which movies are?
Glory. No. Yeah. What?
Schindler's List.
Schindler's List. Other cheerful tales.
Yeah.
Point Break. So talk to me about the movies. How long is it? What draws you to it?
I believe it's about three hours and 25 minutes. If I haven't checked recently the runtime, but as an 11-year-old, my obsession was with the dresses. So go into my 11-year-old brain. These women are running around in gigantic cake-like And my eyes were like, what? We used to dress like that. We don't dress like that anymore. Why don't we dress like that anymore?
Who has dropped the ball?
Yeah, I was jealous.
Right. Just think of the amount of fabric was involved. So wait, Scarlett O'Hara was wearing giant, I do remember there were hoop skirts, and there was herb scoots, and then just reams and reams of brocade.
You got the whole fashion district's just inventory in one dress. Right.
Exactly. And they were all, and how many dresses do you think she wears in the film?
Oh my God.
Like a dozen?
More than that. Maybe 30?
Okay. Like there's 30 times she's changing
because
her clothes.
Because she starts the movie at 16 years old. And by the end of the movie, she's like, she might be like 30, early 30s by the end of the movie. So talking the progression of a child into adulthood, of a rich woman becoming poor and then becoming rich again. Like she's going through all of like the poor dress she wears that for a very long time in the movie because they didn't have money. So it was like her sweats, and her pandemic wear. She had that off for most of the movie. All dirty, had a headscarf on, looking like a slave. It was fantastic.
What year did this supposedly start? So when she's 16 in what, like 1850?
Because it's right before the Civil War. I am going to gather it's about 1855, 1856. And this is without, I don't remember.
Right. And this is all enthusiasm, you guys. Yes. Feel free to email me, jackiekasha.com.
I will tell you when I know a fact, and I will tell you when I'm making a hypothesis.
When you are just living in the moment of a moment in the movie. So she's 16.
Yes.
In like the middle 50s of the 1800s. So it's all her sort of being like the belle of the ball. Like, is she just super popular?
Do
we meet her parents?
We meet her parents. Her father is an Irish immigrant.
Okay.
Who came over with some money. They have a plantation.
Oh,
her mother is kind of like a nurse who goes around to people's houses and like delivers babies or makes sure people aren't sick. And she also runs the house, you know, and then they have obviously an overseer who oversees the slaves. She has two younger sisters.
Oh, she does. Okay. Yes. There are three kids.
There are three girls and a bunch of slaves. And we got the house Negro who is Mammy, played by Hattie McDaniel.
Right.
And then, Pork is the butler.
A guy named Pork. Okay.
Pork is the butler. And then we also have Prissy, who is just, she's like a 13-year-old.
Played by the housemaid-y.
Fabulous Butterfly McQueen. Yeah, just kind of like a PA on a production set.
Okay.
Just go get the coffee, Prissy.
Now, why doesn't Pork get any sort of kudos in the annals of history? He was not nominated for any sort of Academy.
Pork gets all the kudos as a character, especially because it's that whole mentality of the house Negro. Like, that's something that, you know, critical race theory analyzes. And they could have left them, obviously, when the Civil War was over, but they stayed with the family. Pork and Mammy stayed.
And Prissy and Mammy.
They stayed with the family the whole time.
Right. That sort of but Stockholm syndrome.
Exactly.
Kind of this, brainwashed into thinking they were.
But also at the end of slavery, you know, people don't talk about enough how a lot of the slaves are like, we're free, but where do we go? We don't own land.
It's not like I have a savings.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, what do I do?
Exactly. I'm going to still, this is a job and this is a place to lie down indoors.
And eat.
There's food and shelter here. And there was no, that's part of the problem is that there was no cash.
Yeah.
So, so we start the movie. They're super rich.
Yes.
They have all of this income and all of these people. When do they become poor with the war?
Yes. Yes, everything is taken from them in the war. So basically, Scarlett, like, her whole desire in the beginning of the movie is Ashley. Ashley is kind of like, he grew up on, you know, the other plantation.
Like the neighbor kid.
Yes, the neighbor kid. And she's been obsessed with him. And now, you know, she's 16. It's time to get married. So she's like, I want Ashley. And then it was like, you know, the Wilkes always be marrying their cousins. So Ashley's supposed to marry his cousin, Melanie.
And is Ashley Clark Gable?
No. Rhett Butler's Clark Gable. Ashley is a man named Leslie Howard.
Oh, okay. Oh, I've heard of that actor.
Yes.
Okay.
So a man named Leslie played a man named Ashley.
And so she wants Ashley.
She wants Ashley.
And does she get Ashley?
So she's the queen bee. This is why Scarlett is my favorite character, because she's an unapologetic bitch forever. Like, she was born that way. You kind of venture to be like, which sign is she? She's like an Aries or a Gemini or something like that. Like, she's definitely a fire energy. And so she hones in, like, almost obsessively. I mean, it's like stalker how much she wants this dude.
Oh my God.
And then you meet his wife, and she's the sweetest thing in the world. Just Sarah B will do anything for anyone. Everyone loves her. No one has anything bad to say about her. You could fuck her over and she is going to still be like just oozing with sweetness, to where you're like, are you phony? But you realize it takes the whole movie for you to be like, no, she really just is that person.
She's just a really nice. And so Ashley ends up marrying his cousin.
His cousin. No? Yes.
And so he does marry his cousin, mm-hmm. and she is a good person.
She's a great person.
And it turns out that Scarlett O'Hara is not.
No. And what does Scarlett do when she finds out that Ashley and Melanie are getting married? She marries Melanie's little brother, who was already betrothed to Ashley's little sister. So she steals him.
Oh, just out of spite.
Out of straight up spite.
Holy. And okay. What? And so now she's
housewife.
Married.
She's the first Real Housewife.
Of course she is. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So, okay. So she marries the little brother, and how long are they married before it all goes to hell?
The war starts immediately. So they have this big barbecue, and it's like kind of everyone's last hurrah before the pandemic happened. Like, everyone thinks back to that. I was on the Joko cruise, and we had a hurrah, you know?
Yeah, you did.
So this was the last hurrah barbecue of the ladies. I mean, the girls would go to the barbecue and they take naps in the middle of the day. And then the men go do men shit while the girls are taking naps. Because well-behaved ladies take naps at parties.
And oh my God, where did that go? you can have the dresses. I would like party naps here. Party yes, naps. Please.
And then they wake up and have the later night. But yeah, so the war starts immediately, and her husband dies.
Oh, he just freaking dies.
And the first, like, the comedy of the movie is they write a letter. He died of like dysentery or something like that. Just something real.
Oregon,
like,
Trail.
They were like, while he didn't die valiantly in the war, he did die, I guess, in a uniform.
During the war. Okay. He pooped himself in that uniform.
Basically.
Okay.
And so she's a widow. So now she's like a teenage widow.
Okay. Like, almost immediately.
Immediately.
So do you think that they did it before? Like, is she not a virgin anymore? Does she get to go out and work
the
world?
She don't seem like the type that would let a person touch her, like, if she didn't feel like it. She seemed like she'd be like, whatever, get away from me, you know? And Charles was real, like, timid. So you could tell she would have been running him.
Oh.
So he dies. And when we're talking widow looks, you saying dresses, she's giving widow looks so many times in this. There's like three widow looks, and they are amazing.
Is it just the crepe, the black crepe taffeta? Is it all just all in mourning clothes? Or has she decided, Okay.
She's in mourning three different part times in the movie. She's in mourning and she, and the last wedding, the last widow look is my absolute favorite, but yeah, she's in mourning like three different times in the movie.
Oh, does she remarry?
Oh yeah, of course.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, she's, oh, that's right. She is the queen bee. She must, of course, get a second fella. Who's her second fella?
Her second fella was, okay, how do we talk about Frank? So Frank is another just like whatever dude from where they from. You know, everybody's okay. Like, you marry the other rich kids. But Frank a little older than everybody else. So he the old dude at the club that nobody has married yet. So he ain't that cute. But what happens is he goes through the war and starts like an Amazon type business and then gets rich.
Oh, right. So, he's panning for gold. He's the guy who has the equipment.
Yes.
So that's how he makes money.
He makes money and he's also doing lumber in Georgia. Like, I'm down here now and the trees in Georgia are like so plentiful and that's how everything was built.
Okay.
So she, oh my gosh, well, we fast forwarded. We didn't go through like the burning of Atlanta or.
Oh, no, right. Because that's her poor time, right? So
yes.
Was she a poor widow before she meets Frank?
Yeah. So what happens is she gets married, her husband dies.
Right.
Melanie is her sister-in-law and married to Ashley, who's also at the war. And so they're like, let's go to Atlanta. You know, so they're at Tara. Right. Tara's the big house. And they were like, we're going to go to Atlanta. And Mammy was like, you ain't got no business going to Atlanta. You just go in there because you're waiting for Ashley to come home from the war. And you just sitting there waiting like a spider. You're a spider. That's why Mammy's my favorite person, because she would always be like, tell this biatch about herself all the time. And Scarlett would be like, well, whatever. I don't care.
That's so funny, because Mammy is like, no, you're horrible. And yet I'm still going to hang out. And
I have to hang out. So if I have to hang out, you're going to hear what I have to say. Like, she was the first Black woman to use her voice, which is funny to me.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
So she goes to Atlanta and they're at Aunt Pity Pat's house in Atlanta. So they rich and everything's happening. And that's when they attack Atlanta.
Okay.
And she has to escape. Melanie's pregnant, but she's having a bad time in the pregnancy. And Scarlett tries to get her to deliver the baby. She tries to go get the doctor. And this scene is so funny because everyone's dying. Like, there's, it's just pandemonium. Everyone's dying. The doctor's like, I haven't seen my family in days. I'm stitching up soldiers. We don't have any more chloroform, nothing. And so, Scarlett's like, well, you got to come help me deliver the baby. And he was like, a baby? Don't nobody care about the baby? You're a woman. Deliver the baby. What is wrong with you?
Right. Oh, my. That's so
like,
weird.
I can't. And that's the audacity that she had, to come get this doctor who is trying to save soldiers' lives to come deliver a baby.
Right. I don't want to get my hands dirty. If you could come. And he's like, babies are born all the time. People live or die. Good luck.
Yeah. And she's like, she might die. And he was like, look at all these people dying. What are you talking about? She might die. Don't nobody care. And the shot they have where all of the dead soldiers are lying out, SAG at the time didn't have enough extras for this scene.
Okay.
So the producer said he wanted like 2,500 extras. And in 1939, SAG only was like, we only have 1,500. I mean, now they got 15 million, but at the time they were like, we only have 1,500. So they sent all of their extras to the set. And then Selznick bought a bunch of dummies and just laid them into the far shots. So they could have it. And it's this huge crane shot that's absolutely beautiful. It starts with Scarlett and then it opens up and you see like bodies just laid out.
Thousands of bodies. Wow. Yeah. That's okay. So what happened to her parents?
They had to stay. They stayed at Tara. So they're wherever Tara is, like Southern
Georgia. And her younger sisters?
Yes. Everyone's back at Tara.
Okay. So she's just with
Melanie.
And the baby's coming. She's with Melanie. She's yes. in Atlanta. The baby's coming.
Yeah. And it's just her, Melanie, and Prissy. Because Pity okay. Pat done left. Because once they started bombing Atlanta, she was like, I got to get out of here. I got to go to my summer home. I can't take this. She took her slave. It was like, I'm out.
Oh, my gosh. Do you guys want to, did she offer them to come or?
She said, is you coming or is you not? Because I'm leaving.
Right.
Yeah, so she left as they started bombing, just as Sherman started bombing Atlanta.
This so reminds me of in North Dakota at Grand Forks, the Red River overflows every year. I was booked there to headline. They had canceled the Thursday because the flooding was happening. On Friday, there I got a call from the front desk at the Westward Ho Motel where I was staying that the shows were also at, and the Westward Ho front desk said, hey, we're evacuating, you can stay if you want.
If you want.
And I was like, if you're leaving,
I'm leaving.
This one's leaving. Yeah, we're not.
I don't live here.
Who's right? Why would I stay
at
a place?
What are you on about? I'm leaving too.
Right. Why would you stay? Right.
No, I don't have that mentality, okay. But I also think we're the type of people that don't have that mentality regardless, because most people don't leave their hometowns, you know, like Union, New Jersey. A lot of my high school friends stayed there and in the vicinity.
They are still there.
Yeah.
They're still hanging out in Milwaukee. So, okay. So they stay. Atlanta is being burned to the ground.
Atlanta is slowly starting to burn to the ground. And so Pity Pat leaves. Now she's in labor and she's having the worst time in labor. So insert Rhett Butler. So Rhett Butler, she met him at this party, right?
Okay.
That last party that they had years ago, mm-hmm. she met him there. Mm-hmm. And the way she met him was because he was arguing with the other men about the war, because the Southern dudes were like, oh, we're going to win this war. This war is going to be over in 2 weeks. And he was like, what are y'all talking about?
You're right. You're fighting the actual army.
You're fighting an army. You guys don't even have an army. You don't have any metal down here. Like, what are you talking? You just have slaves and arrogance. And right. And so he overhears Scarlett confessing to Ashley her love. And he was like, nah, I'm marrying my cousin. And then Rhett comes out. He's like, ooh, that was fun. witness. And so she smacks him, and that's that. So now okay. We're in Atlanta, and Rhett Butler is partying with, like, the head mistress, the whore. He's at a whorehouse party. And so, of course, the hookers
sure is.
And the other people are partying while Atlanta's burning to the ground. They're just like, look, yeah, we're going to get sure. these drinks in. If we're going to die, let's drink.
Wow, that is the Joko Cruise. Wait a minute.
Exactly. Yes, and so Scarlett sends Prissy to go. She was like, go get Rhett. And she's like, Rhett, you got to come help us. She's having the baby. It's just us. You know, Scarlett ain't shit. So you got to help. And they were laughing like, what are you talking about? So he goes and steals a horse, comes get Scarlett, and takes them through, and we have the burning of Atlanta scene, which is one of the most expensive scenes in Hollywood history. They started for the time period. They started shooting it before they even cast Scarlett. Like, that was the first scene they shot. And the way they shot the burning of Atlanta was by burning other Hollywood sets that they wanted to get rid of from the lot.
So
they burned the King Kong set. So that's one of the sets that's burning in the background. For the burning of Atlanta.
Cool.
Yeah. And so they actually kind of used it. So that's a super famous scene. They get through all that.
Right.
Clark leaves them to go join the war.
Oh, he finally goes to wait, does the baby live? Does Melanie have the baby?
She has the baby. They take the baby on the road, and it's just a long ass scene of them trying to get to Tara and
getting back to Tara. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when they get to 12 Oaks first. 12 Oaks is where Ashley's Wilkes's family is from. That's burned to the ground.
Okay.
So she's like, oh my God. I don't even know. She don't even know if her parents are gonna be, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So she finally gets to Tara. It's still standing.
She's got Melanie and the baby.
Melanie and
Prissy
the baby
with
and
her?
Prissy. The horse died. She whipped the horse to death. The horse is dead.
Oh my God, Scarlett. The animal
runs to the house like, Mom, Dad, I'm home. She's been gone for like years. Like she's been gone for a couple of years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she's, Mom and Dad, I'm home. She sees Mammy. She sees Pork. She's hugging her slaves. Everything's great. The slaves just look so sad. And she's like, what? What's wrong? Her mother died the night before.
Oh, she missed it by a day. She Right. So she still got her dad and her two sisters?
But her dad's, the mother's death turned him idiot, is what they said in the show. Father done turned idiot. Basically starts having like a psychotic break. And so she kind of loses him as well.
No.
And she has to be, so she grows up like in the next 2 years, she grows up like 20 years.
Mm.
But also becomes more ruthless, okay. Which
which is a classic Scarlett O'Hara moment.
Yes.
How is that manifested? What do you mean she becomes more ruthless?
Oh, because we got to get to the second husband. So
that's right. Frank?
Yes, Frank Kennedy.
Okay.
So Melanie, we got the babies, it's post-war. Everything's starting to come back together, right?
Okay.
So they're feeding soldiers who are, you know, lost money. All this stuff is happening. They find out they got to pay the taxes on Tara. She doesn't have enough money to pay the taxes on Tara.
Okay.
So a famous dress she makes out of the curtains. Well, she makes Mammy make it.
That's right. She's not making the dress.
She's not making the dress.
But so she makes a famous dress. Oh, so that she can look fancy.
She can look fancy.
That's why she made the dress.
Yes.
Okay.
To go to the city to visit Rhett, who's now in jail. He's a prisoner of war. The Southerners captured him.
Okay.
And she knows he's rich because she knows he was a war profiteer. So she's like, he got the money because they need $300.
You need Frank. Is Frank's in jail or Rhett is in jail?
Butler. Clark Gable's in jail. Yeah.
Oh, and he was a war profiteer.
He's a war profiteer.
Okay.
And he's in this jail. She knows he has the money. She needs $300. So she's like, I have to go ask Rhett for the money, but I can't go like this. And, you know, she had all her sweats. She's like, I can't go like this. She yanks the curtains off the thing. Her and Mammy get into a fight. Mammy's like, you ain't visited this white trash in the jail with your mama's curtains. Those are her curtains. She's like, they're my curtains now, bitch. Make me this dress. And it's just a fun argument.
Yeah.
And
that's the greatest argument.
Yeah. And then she makes this dress, goes up there, tries to pretend everything's all well and good. And
Is Rhett fallen for it?
Rhett, they're like equal characters as far as ruthlessness and being just
and being
other
a
side.
Hunk of junk.
Yes,
okay.
Being terrible people, just honestly terrible people. And Rhett,
this is a movie about two terrible people finally falling in love.
Yes.
And okay.
Yes, yes, yes. So he's in the jail. The Southern soldiers love him because he's super duper charming, because he's a sociopath essentially. He's super charming and he's like gambling with them. And he's like, what do I owe you guys today? And he's like losing money. They have him in a horse jail. It's weird. And so she comes and she tries to dazzle him, but then he looks at her hands and he's like, your hands look like a field hand. What have you been doing with your hands? What, you said everything was good in Tara. And she's like, I need money. And he's like, well, I can't give it to you. So she gets pissed, right? Leaves him at the jail, bumps into Frank Kennedy, sees his store. Frank is betrothed to her little sister and hasn't married her yet because he wanted to have money to marry her.
Right.
This chick swoops in, steals this man from her sister so she can get $300 to pay for the taxes for Tara. So she marries him like immediately.
Oh no, what is her sister? Where are her sisters?
Oh, they're back at Tara. So the next scene is her sister being like, I hate Scarlett and I will hate her until the day I die.
Yes, she is not wrong.
Yeah, she's not wrong at all.
her, why did her little sister not just get the $300? It's a movie.
So many other things you could have done. Be like, look, but she, but also her little sister didn't care about Tara. Like she told her, I don't care about Tara. So,
oh, okay.
You know, and she smacked her in the face. Scarlett be slapping people all the time. She's like, freaking what? Eva Gabor or Zsa Zsa Gabor?
Right. Just somebody that's slapping, the hitting.
She be slapping people left and right. So she slapped the sister, was like, you better care about Tara. Our parents died for this land, pretty much.
Okay.
So she got the money.
So she's married to Frank now.
She's married to Frank. Now they got money because she starts going into business mode, Scarlett. And she's like, the lumber business, let's do this. Let's get the lumber. And they start just building an empire. They got this gigantic house, fixing up Tara. Everything's great, right? So they're telling her, they're like, look, Scarlett, you're doing too much for a woman. A woman shouldn't be dealing with business. What are you doing?
Oh.
And you're going into like dangerous situations. People are trying to tell her. She's like, whatever. I don't care. Men do it. I can do it. So she gets attacked. She gets attacked one day because she's like riding around by herself, you know?
Right, right, right.
And this is, you know, it's post-war, it's reconstruction. So, you know, shady people are all over the place. So she goes through
a lot of decommissioned soldiers and yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she goes through the shanty town, gets attacked. And the men get together and they're like, we got to go back to that shanty town and clear it out. But they don't tell the women. So there's this really dramatic scene where all the women are together and they're sweating. And Scarlett's like, what? Why are y'all acting like this? What's wrong with y'all? And then they had to tell her, like, the men are doing something vigilante tonight and they might get arrested. They also might get killed. So Rhett Butler saves the day because he was like, I was gambling with the soldiers and they said they're going to go arrest your husbands. Where are they? And he goes and saves the day. Bring back Ashley. Ashley got shot.
Oh, because Ashley's back from the war.
They're back
with
from the
Melanie.
War.
Yes. Okay.
And he's working for Scarlett because he don't have no other options.
Right. And does she still love Ashley?
Of course.
She still wants.
Yeah. And she married to Frank.
Right, she's married to Frank, he's married to Melanie. Does she try to hit on Ashley all the time? And does Ashley
He keeps trying to curve her. He keeps trying to be like, girl, leave me alone, I'm married. So all the men
I'm so glad I've never seen this movie and I'm so glad you're telling me about it.
I love this. I've never done this before.
This is so great.
So Ashley gets shot, right? And they bring him in and Rhett tries to pretend he's drunk. And he's like, oh, we was at Bell's, that whorehouse they was at before. He's like, we was at Bell's, we was drinking all night. And the soldier's like, no, you weren't. You guys were, he shot somebody tonight. I got to arrest him. And Rhett's like, no, don't arrest him. We cool. Everybody's cool. So they don't arrest him. And they realize that he's like, he got shot. He wasn't drunk. He got shot.
Right, right.
So the doctor's with him, that same doctor from before. And he's like, jumps into play. Like, da da da. And then Scarlett's just like laying next to Ashley. Oh, Ashley, my poor Ashley. And Rhett's standing there.
Right.
And he's like, do you want to know what happened to your husband? Like, Frank's not back. And she hasn't asked where Frank. And she was just like, oh, did he go to Bell's with you too? And she's like, no, he's dead. He's got shot.
Oh, dead. Frank died.
Frank died in the shantytown bus.
She is hard on husbands. So
he's in mourning again. So we have another mourning look.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Rhett comes and proposes to her while she's in mourning. He's like, look, I can't be waiting for you to be in between husbands again. So he's like, I'm going to marry you. And she's like, what? I don't want to marry you. He was like, girl, we are the same. We need to get married. We need to get this money and we need everybody to hate us.
Right.
So they get married and they get gaudy as hell. So that's when they buy that house that has that staircase.
Okay. Oh, the big swooping. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That All house right. is in Atlanta.
Oh.
So that's their city house. So they got that city house, that gaudy ass house is in the city. And then they got Tara still.
Tara. Okay.
Yes. And so she has a baby.
Oh, she has Rhett Butler's baby.
She has Rhett Butler's baby. Mm-hmm.
What kind of baby is it? Is a little it baby a human girl? Little baby girl. They have a girl. They have a girl child. Okay.
Yes. Ashley and Melanie have their baby who survived from the war. And right. So now they're all just like family people. Everyone's family. Yay. Everyone's rich.
Right.
Because of they're Scarlet. Rich again. And mm-hmm. everyone hates her. Like people be like talking shit, walking down the street, see her, be like, ugh. But then she'd be like, hey, how you doing? I don't care that you hate me. I have money.
So, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So Rhett starts teaching the baby how to ride a horse.
Okay.
A pony. So she's that rich. She's pony rich.
Right. They got ponies. They got ponies for kids.
They got pony money.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. teaches this baby how to ride the pony. Mm-hmm.
By the way, I can hear the gardener
yes.
In your yard, and I just want everyone to know, we know what's happening. We're still having this conversation, and it's not that bad. You can face it. Okay,
I'm sorry keep going. For y'all.
So they're pony rich.
They are pony rich. They still got some mammy and pork. They old.
Okay.
And Mammy be talking shit to Rhett like, y'all two are scallywags. The two of y'all are the worst people. I work for y'all, but y'all are the worst people in the world.
Oh, my God. I love that she's just calling it one yes. time after another.
And Rhett was like, she's the only person whose respect I want.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so he buys her this like, petticoat. It's this red silk petticoat. And she's like wearing it. And so they become friends. They become friends.
Right, right. Sure. He's very charming.
Yeah. And so Scarlett gets pregnant again. You know, they're a tumultuous relationship because they're both sociopaths. So it's like they're fighting all the time. They rich as hell. They're going back and forth through their drama. And then the baby's about, she's like 7 or 8. She's a little brat, of course. Mm. And one day, because Scarlett had a miscarriage, so Scarlett gets pregnant again, and she's okay. arguing with Rhett by the stairs, and she goes to hit him, and he matrixed on her, and she fell down the stairs and has a miscarriage.
Oh, Scarlett does. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And
I was like, did they kill the kid?
No, they don't kill she's the still kid, alive. The baby's still alive.
Okay, And they don't kill the 7-year-old.
And so what happened was I realized my dream for separate bedrooms, because there's a scene when Scarlett is like in her bedroom, everything's pink, and then you walk into his bedroom and that there's a giant picture of her on the wall. And I didn't realize till I was older that they had separate bedrooms.
Oh yeah. That's rich people separate bedroom business.
Yes, the royal suites. Like, yeah, the
right. Then where do you go to have the sex? You got to pick.
Every night you're is like a sleepover, baby.
Do you want to do it in our bed or your bed or my yes. bed? That kind of thing. Very weird.
So she's healing from the miscarriage. They're realizing, you know, like we should be together. Like they keep missing each other. They keep falling in love with each other at different times. Like when one of them's being a jerk, the other one, like Rhett was actually really good to her. He was a really good guy. But Scarlett just had too many issues. So the baby, she teaches the baby how to ride side saddle because, you know, it's not appropriate for a girl to ride regular.
Don't be. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she's like, I want to show you how I jump. And Scarlett's like, don't listen to her. She needs to get off that horse. And you can't tell her nothing because she's a little brat. So she goes and jumps and breaks her neck and dies.
The kid dies.
The kid dies.
They kill a 7-year-old child in this fucking movie.
This before Game of Thrones. This was before you can't get attached to any character in this story.
Oh my God. And I suppose this is the same time they're making Old Yeller. So why not? Why not
why
kill
are
a
we
kid?
Doing it? We're killing kids. Whatever kid. Happened to Baby Jane?
Oh my God.
So
insane.
Yeah. And it's like, and so at this point, you thought you was crying in the movie. Once the baby girl dies, it's tears for the rest of the movie because the baby dies. Clark has this crazy scene where he's like, he's losing his mind because the only thing he cared about was his daughter. He spoiled the shit out of her and he's losing his mind because she's dead. He, right. He killed the horse. He shot the horse.
Oh my God.
He wouldn't
like,
bury
her. I blame this horse.
Yes.
And he wouldn't bury her?
He wouldn't bury her for days. So Melanie had to come over and convince him. She had to be like, you have to say goodbye to her. And
oh, no.
When she did that, she said she was pregnant. And he was like, but you're not supposed to get pregnant. So whatever she had, she might have been whatever, like today, preeclampsia, something like that. She okay. got through the first baby, but the doctor said you shouldn't have another baby. She announces she's pregnant and he was like, but you shouldn't have a baby. And she convinces him. It's exhausting. She's in there for hours. She finally like brings him some tea, convinces him to bury his child. She passes out.
Oh no. Oh no, Melanie.
Now Melanie's dying.
Oh my God, Melanie's got to, okay.
No, Melanie's dying. And so they bury this baby. They bury little Blue Butler, Bonnie Blue Butler. They bury her.
Oh my God.
And now we got to deal with Melanie dying. And
Melanie is dying.
And Melanie is like,
Scarlett, she's the best person in the
best
plot.
Person. She's the best person in the whole entire movie. And she tells Scarlett, take care of Ashley for me.
Oh,
and
no.
She says that in front of Rhett. And Rhett's already had Scarlett's shit. He was like, the only thing we could have had to keep us together was Bonnie. And now she did.
Oh, no.
I don't even want to deal with you no more.
Oh no.
And so Melanie's dying and she's like, he's like, oh, it's perfect for you. Now you can get with Ashley. He goes home, pack his shit. She realizes, and Melanie also says, be good to Captain Butler because he loves you.
Aw.
So those are her dying words. Her dying words
are
take care of Ashley, but also take care of your husband and stay in love. Ashley's not the person for you. So yeah, they get back to the house. He's packing his stuff. And she's like, Rhett, where should I go? What should I do? And he said, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
That's not even the end of the movie. Is that the end of the movie?
That's pretty much the end. She decides, like, he leaves. He walks off into the fog. And she's like, what am I going to do? And she realizes she just got to go back to Tara and figure it out. So that's how the movie ends.
Wait. So Melanie dying is
Melanie
this
dies.
Big. So the kid dies and then Melanie dies. And that's sort of the big thing
yeah.
where she's told to take care of Ashley and Rhett. And she just goes back with Rhett to see him.
She remembers.
And
she was like, I love him. Because she'd been fighting it this whole time. She'd been fighting it.
Right.
She's like, I love you, Rhett. I love you. And he was like, I don't care anymore.
Care.
Because you
I don't care.
Are a stressor.
Right. Because you are
the worst.
So do we see Ashley at all again in the movie?
While Melanie's dying, he's sobbing. And so that's what she's like, oh, Ashley. Oh, you've always loved Melanie. And he's like, duh, bitch. Like, my wife? Yes. The mother of my child? Yes.
Yes, it turns out.
I've loved her this whole time. So, yeah, she.
Yeah. My first cousin? Yes. I've always wanted to get with her just because I want kids with hip dysplasia. Oh, my gosh.
Ooh, bad blood.
Just like, too close. Wow. Holy smokes. So she goes back to Tara and she's just all sad sack there. And that's how the movie ends.
Well, it's kind of like tomorrow is another day. So that's the final line is tomorrow is another day.
Oh,
which is
okay.
Hopeful because they didn't want to end it with frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Cause it's like, that's so hopeless. So
oh,
they finally
so
end it with tomorrow is another day.
And so this asshole is going to figure it out tomorrow.
This asshole.
She's still rich.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be fine.
She's
don't worry
rich.
About
she's
her.
She's Kardashian rich. She's like.
Right. And she's one of those people that just bounces back.
Oh, yeah.
And is just going to be everyone's going to die around her for the next 60 years.
Yeah, yeah,
she's
yeah.
going to run through like six more husbands.
Oh, yeah.
And
Elizabeth
Taylor. Right?
Yeah.
What a beautifully shot.
Beautifully shot, beautifully shot, talking about the cinematography, mm-hmm. how much money it cost. It was the third most expensive movie at the time. Ben-Hur kind of outspent it for the time period. David O. Selznick, like, lost his mind. He's the producer when he was shooting it. and they had to keep changing directors. They started with this guy, George Cukor, who was an openly gay man at the time. But Clark Gable didn't want to work with him because the tea was that Clark Gable used to be like a little hooker when he was trying to get into Hollywood. But like for men, you know how they would be at that little gas station. Just getting men. And he didn't. So he was triggered. So having the gay director triggered him and he got him fired. And then Victor Fleming came and directed.
I love George Cukor. George Cukor is one of my favorite directors.
If I could travel back in time, I would want to be at a dinner with him. He'd be at my dinner table, like, so he could just spill Hollywood tea.
He directed my favorite movie, which is Holiday with Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn. And that is one of my favorite movies of all time. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so this is... So But back with Scarlett O'Hara, right?
Yes.
She's at Tara.
Yes.
Is at some point, does she say Tara, Tara, Tara? Or is that that's a different movie. That's a Japanese war movie. Tora, Tora, Tora. I'll be honest, or that might be a Jewish Bible movie. Tora, Tora, Tora. I'm mixing too many things up. So, but the thing is Tara, she's back at Tara. Are the old retainer slave people there still?
They go where she goes. They go where she goes.
Right. So they're in that last scene too. Is that who is she talking to when she says tomorrow's another day?
Oh, she's just talking out into the ether.
She's talking to the camera. She's
fourth walling. Right. And it's funny because she one of the reasons her sister hates her, she was like, she stole my husband and she took all our slaves. this chick leaves. The slaves go with her. She's like, y'all can't have no slaves. You need to dress and bathe yourselves. I'm bringing the slaves with me.
Oh, my God. I can't stand it. So they've never made a remake of this movie.
They've never done a remake, but they did a sequel. Roger, who played Rhett Butler? I forget the dude's name who played Rhett Butler, but it was one of those kind of like, made for TV, Jones.
Oh, right.
And I watched it, but it wasn't.
Of course you watched it.
Yeah.
So is this, here we are. We're at like 50 minutes. We have 10 more minutes.
Yes.
We don't have to go the full hour.
Yes.
But is there anything that you have not told me, Joelle Johnson? At Joelle Nicole, by the way.
Yes. Well, also about the making of the movie. I mean, I'm a nerd about the making of the movie as well because of all the things that happened. And like, you know, the NAACP was trying to boycott it because they had some scenes in there that were going to be glorifying the KKK and glorifying lynchings. And they had to take those scenes out of there. Hattie McDaniel, the hotel where they had the Oscars, had a no blacks policy. So she was allowed to come only because she was nominated for an Oscar. And they made her sit by the kitchen. And
what?
She had to read a speech that was written by the studio for her.
Oh, they had to clear everything that she said in her acceptance speech.
Yeah.
And, so the scenes, what year did this come out?
1939.
So so there were scenes, and do those scenes exist? Like, did they keep that footage, the KKK stuff and the lynching scenes?
I haven't seen it. It hasn't made it in any of the special features of the DVDs and everything that I've owned over the years.
What are the special features?
There's a feature-length documentary.
Okay. Well, that's actually interesting, right? Yes. I mean, it talks about the cinematography and the sets.
But also the drama with finding the actress, like finding Scarlett, because they started filming before they found Scarlett. He saw thousands. They did a nationwide search. And then obviously Vivian Leigh is British. So the daughters of the Confederacy were like, who is this British woman? You couldn't find a Southern American girl. That's how, you know, like black people get mad when all the British people play Martin Luther King. Yeah. And this was, they said, who is this British woman? You couldn't find one Southern belle.
No, there's no Southern Belle available.
Then they said, they were like, it might have been Katharine Hepburn. So then they were like, all right, better a Brit than a Yankee.
Right. and so funny. Because they wanted, was Vivian Leigh famous at that time? Was she a name?
She wasn't attached to it, or she wasn't necessarily a name, but she was a hustler. She came onto the set. She knew David O. Selznick's brother, and he brought her onto the set when they were doing the burning of Atlanta. So she kind of hustled herself in there. And also Claudette Colbert was also about to be Scarlett, but she was with Charlie Chaplin at the time, and they were like his neighbors. And he said, like, how am I going to do this nationwide search and then my neighbor's going to be Scarlett? No, no, no.
Well, Claudette Colbert was with Clark Gable in...
It
Happened One Night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, It Happened One Night. So they had a nice
chemistry.
Connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that would have been interesting. But Vivian Leigh did an excellent job playing it. Nailed it, being the jackass that Scarlett O'Hara was.
Yeah.
wow.
And there's certain people who are nominated twice for Oscars and won two Oscars. And she's one of them. She's one of the two for two people.
Okay.
Nominated twice, won twice. I think Kevin Spacey. The other one for her was Streetcar Named Desire.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's so much drama. With the directing and with the...
Everything was so dramatic.
It was that it's such a crazy, like, and it was in color, which was kind of a new thing too.
Yes, Technicolor, right? Brand new Technicolor. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and then Victor Fleming replaced George Cukor, and Victor Fleming had just done The Wizard of Oz, but he was also like a raging asshole. Like, they talk, the way they talk about him, he gives really... cocaine energy, like just very alpha male. So of course Clark Gable loved him and Vivian Leigh hated him. So they went from George Cukor being tender and sweet and, you know, fabulous and gay mm-hmm. to this raging, probably alcoholic just, cokehead.
Just aggro to, yeah. So did George Cukor shoot any of it?
18 days. Used? He did 18 days. Victor Fleming did 93 or 96 days, and then this other guy, because Victor Fleming burnt out because he was probably on cocaine and not sleeping. and so this other guy, Sam somebody, did like 20 days.
Oh, the last 20?
Yes. Yeah,
and then that is interesting. I wonder if Vivian Leigh had three different outfits for each of the different directors.
Ooh, and she worked double the days that Clark worked, but obviously there's no equal pay, so he got paid way more money than she did.
Oh, wow. Because they were stars, so there was no day rate. It was just a flat, above the line kind of star thing, but he got more money because he was a bigger star.
Yeah, and the studios owned them at that point.
Oh, right. That's right. So, interesting. Would you recommend, if one were to want to watch this film?
Yes.
What version? Is there a Criterion version? Is there...
No, here's the thing. I've had dudes try to date me, and this one guy was like, I want to watch it with you. And I was like, it's my thing. Like, I don't need people to want to like it with me. I understand that it is a super long... it's a period piece. Like, who cares about this? So... If you're into period pieces, if you're into big dresses, if you're into dramatic drama, bitch queens.
If you are into big dresses and bitch queens, that's my favorite line.
Yes. Watch
this. Watch it by
but
yourself.
If you're not, don't. Do not torture yourselves.
Don't sweat it. I've tried to actually get Andy Ashcraft to watch Midnight Run three different times. And literally he's like, this movie just makes me want to make out with you.
Oh.
So we end out, he's never seen it.
Oh,
every
I love
time
that.
I've put it in, he's just like, want to go make out?
Netflix and chill. So,
it was me DVD at his apartment because he picked the first movie and then I picked the second movie and I was like, wait, why are we making, this is such a funny, great movie. And he's like, or do you want to make out? And I was like,
obviously
we can, I obviously want to make out.
Big fan.
Yeah. Big fan of the makeup.
Yeah, Gone with the Wind
makeup.
Is not an aphrodisiac. So, I mean, there are hot moments, but the beginning ain't it.
Right, right. None of it seems, it all seems to be, you want to watch it kind of for the dresses and the cinematography. And if you want to celebrate two giant assholes falling in love with each other and then out.
And then explosions. Watch it as a mini series. Do yourself a favor and break it up into chunks.
Yeah, I think they did. Back in the 70s, they showed it over a series of evenings.
Oh, yeah.
On TV when they broke it up like that. Yeah. It was because I remember Nancy Kashian was like, oh, I saw this in the theater. But did they re-release it? Do you know if they re-released it in the theaters ever?
Yeah, they've done
after
re-releases.
After 1939?
Yeah, they've done re-releases in the theaters. They did like this big VHS, and then they did this dramatic 4-disc DVD that, you know, because it can never be on one thing. It was always on two VHSs, two DVDs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they did like a 4-disc release, and I was so excited. I still have that.
Mm-hmm. I still have DVDs. Because I have to say, I think that Nancy Kashian was not alive in 1939.
Right.
So she must have seen it as a sort of a revival kind of thing in the 50s or 60s when she was in her teens, because she saw it in the theater, I think, my stepmother, and loved it so much and tried to get my sister and I to watch it. And we were like, Not happening.
Not.
No. These are. I've never been a fan. I've never been able to sit through Terrible Life Choices.
Oh, and these are. And I love Terrible Life Choices. I also like watching white women struggle, and there's a lot of white women struggle in this.
Joel Johnson, thank you so much for doing the Dork
Yay!
For us. I can't believe you haven't been on before. Everyone, find Joel Johnson. Give her stand-up comedy work or whatever she's looking for, because she is a damn great stand-up comic. Has an album out called Yell Joy, and you were just, I think, on Fallon, right?
Yes, Cinco de Mayo. So, I did Fallon, yeah.
So look up some clips if you want to see some clips, and at Joelle Nicole on everything across the board.
Yes.
Okay. Twitter, Instagram, all the things. And thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you for having me. I love you the best.
Oh, and Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?